crazy. All right, we're going to call tonight's meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission to order. We get a roll call, please.
Steele.
Here.
Cable.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Merkin, absent. Smith, absent. Mins.
Here.
Sherwood, absent.
Okay, and were there any changes or additions to the agenda? I think I'm going to suggest one. The audience participation here. How many of you folks are here for the conditional use permit? Raspberry Hill Resort Bed and Breakfast. Thanks for helping me out. How many for the other case about the text amendment to the zoning code? Okay. I think we might, I might ask or recommend that we flip-flop those in order and take the conditional use permit first. First of the public hearings. Okay. We need a motion on that.
Motion that we swap those two things on the agenda.
I'll second that.
Voice vote, please. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Great. The agenda will stand approved then. Are there any changes or additions to the minutes from our last meeting? Are the January 3? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved. All right, we do have a time for public comment, and this is for comments on anything not already scheduled to be heard for tonight's meeting, anything not already on the agenda. Is there anyone who'd like to raise any issues or address the commission in any way? Okay. I want to make one other announcement, too. We do have a sign-in sheet over here at the table, and we'd love it if you would please sign in if you haven't already sometime during the evening. If you could make that happen, we'd appreciate it. Okay. We are starting with additional items of the 2018 work program with Leanne Harder.
Good evening. I won't take very long because it seems as if you have a very lengthy agenda, but I want to take an opportunity to come before you. I've done this, I don't think I did it last year, but I did a couple of years ago. There are a lot of times that my job kind of crosses boundaries with planning and development, and I'm here before you for special projects. I just wanted you to have an idea of what I've been charged with for the calendar year 2018. My title is County Outreach and Special Projects Manager.
You have both a copy of the presentation I have,
so I show a presentation and my work program, and you receive the work program in advance. I might go through and just highlight some things where you'll be seeing me come to you over the next few months, or areas wherein I'm working with Jerry and his staff. Feel free to stop me with any questions if you want clarification on anything. Again, there's no action by you today, just an FYI. So if you do get questions, why is Leanne working on that? I am a trained planner, so there is some valid reason why I'm working on it too, and why it fits into my work program. So I'm going to start with the CIP and the communications plan aspects. These are things I've really been dealing with since 2014 when the position was created and I was placed into it. The capital improvements plan started back in 2013, I think, with our first CIP. I'm simply the manager. I babysit that through the entire process. Communications plan is really a great emphasis on my job. I do everything from governing the kind of communication strategies for Story County for the Board of Supervisors. I go monthly to the KHOI and do a radio update. National County Government Month is coming up in April, so I'll be getting materials together for that. I do want to put a plug out, though. We're right now looking for Citizen of the Year nominations. Those go through the end of March. And if you are interested or you know someone you'd like to nominate, let me know. Getting a nomination form. That's annually the board does recognize Citizen of the Year, someone that goes above and beyond for their communities, the county, whatever it may be. Next is the C2C plan and Connect Iowa. There's no rhyme or reason why I've lumped these other than these are how they are on the Word program. You are very familiar with the C2C plan. I still play a pretty great role with that. I have some responsibilities that go beyond just planning and development. Some of the implementation matrix projects that landed with the Board of Supervisors, I'm in charge of those. You will be seeing me over this year, probably over the next few months, with some health impact assessments, some discussion of adding that into the whole development review process. And then I would like to come back this fall and present to you the available lands analysis. It's not something I've really presented publicly, and I think it'd be beneficial that we did. It's internally a document that I've prepared for several years, and it's a task that's identifying the C2C plan. So you'll be seeing me this year for those items. Connect Iowa is our broadband strategies, and I will be inviting you to our Economic Development Summit later in August, where we'll be really talking about some of our broadband initiatives and how we can continue to build that. And as we go forward with that, there definitely will be a role for the Planning and Zoning Commission. Next is our CUPCO, Continuity of Planning, Continuity of Government. I'm really working with the Board of Supervisors on that, and then Economic Development. You really won't see much of the CUPCO plan unless we're ever in a situation that we have activated that. But economic development, you may be seeing me in the future as we start talking about some different initiatives that could come forward in the economic development realm. Then floodplain management and community rating system. I kept the floodplain manager hat when I went from planning and development to this current position. And then I got another element added to that health hat when we were designated a community rating system class 7 a year or so ago. So I do a lot of different outreach technique or tools with that. Permit review, obviously, working with Jerry's staff. Everything that goes with floodplain management and the community rating system. And then the good old miscellaneous and the public information officer, Deb Stildroth, Alyssa Reese, Alyssa Wignall, and Deb and I all share the responsibilities for public information officer. So that does, it's not a demanding thing, but there are some special projects that come out of that from time to time. They catch all miscellaneous items. This is kind of where I have an opportunity to work with other departments too, to do special projects, do special outreach. Lots of fun things, get to learn new software and stuff like that. And then really what you will be seeing here pretty soon in the next few months, we're doing a lot with watershed planning in Story County. We're the first county in the state that's hired a contractor to come in, look at our HUC 10, HUC 12 watersheds, and really come up with an assessment of what strategies, best management practices need to be put in place to really address our water quality issues. With that, we'll be getting the assessments from our consultant probably at the end of February, early March. We will be inviting both the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Conservation Board, along with the Board of Supervisors, probably to a work session to receive that report. There will be some strategies that staff and the commissions and the board will be recommended that we think about. Everything from developing a stormwater management ordinance and erosion control ordinance to just on-the-ground practices that we can encourage as an entity. I haven't seen the report yet, so I'm just trying to kind of think out, knowing some discussions I've had with them. But keep your eyes and ears out, because that will be coming here probably March or April to you guys. So with that, I also have the other duties as assigned, which kind of is the catch-all. I do a lot of help with drafting resolutions, legal notices, you name it. You have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation in front of you too. My job description definitely is a catch-all, but I love every day I come here. I enjoy what I do. I hope I'm doing a service to the citizens of Story County, too. My contact information is there, and let me know if you have any questions.
Any questions for Ann? When's the next time we'll see you, and what will the topic be?
It will depend on the timing of the watershed assessments, but I think it probably will be the watershed assessment first. I want to hear from the consultant. That's a good question. I want to hear from the consultant on what their time frame is, and then I will schedule the health impact discussions accordingly. I don't want to hit you with both on the same time.
Okay.
Great. So this spring, a couple months.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next up is CUP 09-17 Raspberry Hill Resort Bed and Breakfast with Emily.
Okay, so this is a request for a new conditional use permit. The proposal is Raspberry Hill Resort Bed and Breakfast, and then also an event venue. The applicant is Brad and Gina Perkins. They live in Madrid. The proposed property for this project is 5500 240th Street, just southwest of Ames. It's in Washington Township, and the current property owner is Wanda McKay Trust. So the nature of this request is for a new conditional use permit. The current request before you today includes an 8-bedroom bed and breakfast, which will include an addition to the existing dwelling. And then also, under our conditional use permit for a bed and breakfast, we do have an option to do an event venue under that same conditional use permit. The event venue before you today is proposed to for up to 300 guests. This would be a new construction on the site. So the vicinity map, we are in Washington Township. Ames is here, the airport is here, 69. South Dakota runs north and south here. We're about a quarter of a mile south of the city of Ames corporate limits. So the subject property is zoned A1. There is property directly to the east here that is zoned AR, agricultural residential. The subject property is 74.11 net acres. To access the property, you do Highway 30 is here. You can take the South Dakota exit, and then it's about 3/4 of a mile down 240th Street. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan, this property is designated urban service area, urban residential, as well as natural area. The urban residential designation requires annexation by the city prior to any subdivision or residential development, and is to include a minimum average net density for residential development of 3.75 units per acre. The current property owner did request an amendment to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan for this property. The Ames City Council denied their request for that amendment. So, again, the property is zoned A1. The property, there are six parcels with single family dwellings that are adjacent to the subject property, and those are those red dots on the map. The proposed improvements would really be in the center here by the star, so you can see where the existing dwellings are in relationship to that. Five of the dwellings share a common property line with the subject property, and four dwellings are located within a quarter mile. So here's some details on the proposed bed and breakfast. Again, an 8-room bed and breakfast to accommodate approximately 20 guests. This would include a over 2,000 square foot addition to the existing dwelling, which was built in 1997. Four of the guest bedrooms would be located in the existing dwelling, and then four additional, which would be ADA compliant, would be added with the proposed addition. The applicant does plan to reside on the lower level of the house. Based on the seating capacity of the dining room, the applicant is permitted to hire one employee. Breakfast will be served for the guests of the bed and breakfast, and then any additional meals would be catered. The event venue, again, is a proposed new construction of a 4,400-foot event venue for up to 300 guests. The purpose of it would be to hold weddings, receptions, corporate retreats, parties. All venue meals would be catered. There will be no kitchen facilities in the event venue. However, there will be serving areas. Wedding planning, groundskeeping, catering, event services would all be contracted through the property owner. Within the event venue, there would be ADA compliant restrooms. Again, the serving area, no cooking appliances. The proposed hours of operation are from 8 a.m. to midnight, 12 a.m. Outdoor activities and music may be permitted. The applicant has indicated that outdoor music would end at dusk, and indoor music would end at 11 p.m. So this is the subject property. 240th Street is here. They do have a paved driveway that is about a quarter mile in length. All of the proposed development is on the south side of Worrell Creek here. So I'll zoom in a little bit here. The existing dwelling is located here. Here's the proposed addition to the dwelling, which would be the four additional rooms for the bed and breakfast. And then the event venue here would be the 4,400 square foot building, and it would be attached to the existing garage. So just a little slightly more detailed site plan. Coming down the driveway, guests would come in here. They are proposing a gravel drive. There is a drop-off area located right in front of the event venue. And then there will be gravel parking, ADA-compliant parking spaces, which will be paved, and then additional parking, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. These are some concept sketches we received from the applicant. This is the event venue, the main hall area, kitchen here, and then ADA-compliant restrooms. This is the proposed addition to the bed and breakfast. Two of the rooms in this addition would be able to accommodate four guests, and then two of the rooms would be able to accommodate two guests. So here's some site photos. This is the driveway off of 240th Street. We're looking south. Here's looking west along 240th Street. And looking north towards Highway 30, which is right here. Looking east along 240th Street, there are two dwellings along 240th Street to the east. And now we're moving down the driveway, looking south along the toward the existing dwelling. This is the existing dwelling, looking southeast. This is the creek that runs through the property that I mentioned before, and all development will be on the south side of the creek, so about a quarter of a mile south of 240th Street. This is looking north at the rear side of the dwelling. The proposed addition would come off of here and extend to the south. This is looking southwest toward the proposed event venue. Again, the event venue would be connected to the existing garage and about in this area here. In this picture, I'm standing about where the addition to the bed and breakfast would be located. This is the existing parking area, which is to the east of the existing dwelling, the garage there. We're looking north here at the existing parking. So now traveling south a little bit, but continuing to look north, this is the rear of the dwelling, so the proposed addition would be to the south here, and then to the east of the existing garage. This is looking southwest toward the proposed parking area. This is a rather large property, so I'll show some images from the south end, but the proposed improvements are really kind of in the center of the property there. This is looking north toward the dwelling from the south end of the subject property. You can see the dwelling there. This is looking west toward the adjacent dwelling from the south end of the subject property. The dwelling is there. Looking south at the agricultural property to the south, and looking east here from the south end of the subject property. There is a good number of trees along the east side of the property that can act as a buffer. And this is approximately the proposed location of the event venue, and I'm looking at this from this location southwest toward the adjacent property with the dwelling to the west. So, standards of approval. In terms of compatibility, the proposed bed and breakfast will occupy the existing dwelling and a proposed addition. The event venue would be a new construction addition to the site. All proposed development would be located on the south side of the creek. The area is zoned A1 and AR, which permits a variety of uses, agricultural, single-family dwellings, cemetery, stables, parks, and forest reserves. But the current land use is really limited to single-family dwellings, agriculture, and natural area. The addition of an events venue serving up to 300 guests could potentially have a major impact on the immediate vicinity. Staff feels primarily due to potential noise and traffic. The hours, again, of the event center are from 8 to midnight, 8 a.m. to midnight. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan designation of urban residential does allow future annexation by the city of Ames. The zoning district that it would be annexed into would only permit a two-bedroom bed and breakfast. So just something to think about. The proposed commercial use of the property, the event venue, could limit future residential development of the area. In terms of transition, there are many trees and quite a large natural area on the property that may act as a partial buffer of the proposed uses. The development would be located about a quarter of a mile south of 240th Street. We do have a landscaping requirement equivalent to 20% of the impervious surface being added to the site, and this should be placed in areas to further screen the proposed use from adjacent properties. Traffic along 240th Street, average annual daily traffic along 240th Street is, in 2015, was 60 vehicles. The property owner thought that at about 50% capacity for the bed and breakfast, they would see around 16 additional trips along the stretch of the street. And this is an increase of over 25% from the existing traffic. With an event venue for 300 guests, staff feels there will likely be between 100 and 150 vehicles traveling to and from the property during any event, which would mean between 200 and 300 additional vehicle trips. The applicant is proposing, however, to work with local hotels and shuttle services to provide transportation to and from the event venue, and that should reduce the number of vehicles traveling to and from the site. The applicant is proposing 58 parking spaces for this site. The bed and the Story County Land Development Regulations have maximum parking standards to prevent excessive parking within developments. But the bed and breakfast is permitted up to 10 spaces, which is based on the number of rooms. And the event venue is permitted up to 75 spaces. There will be a total of 3 paved ADA compliant spaces, 1 for the bed and breakfast and then 2 for the event venue. And these will both include paved walkways to the building entrances. 15 of the parking spaces will be gravel. And the remainder are proposed to be grass with like geotextiles for stabilization. And I have an image of what that might look like provided by the applicant on the next slide. But staff is recommending a condition that the parking stall areas be clearly marked in order to meet our land development regulations. So this is just an example of the sort of parking that's proposed by the applicant for those spaces that aren't going to be gravel or the 3 paved ADA compliant spaces. Signs and lighting, of course, ADA compliant signage will be required for the ADA compliant parking spaces. Any proposed signage will need to meet our sign ordinance in the land development regulations, and outdoor lighting will need to meet our site lighting requirements. In terms of environmental protection, there are no proposed site improvements within the floodplain. Again, an area equivalent to 20% of the impervious surface added is required to be installed as landscaping. The applicant at this time expects that to be about 27,000 square feet, which would mean over 5,000 square feet of landscaping. The applicant will be required to design the proposed buildings and site improvements in accordance with the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and SUDIS for erosion control. And the applicant will need to monitor the water across the driveway. There has been flooding in the past, and you received a letter from the existing or the current property owner. Water has flooded the driveway access, but he said that it was in no more than 3 or 4 times since the dwelling was built about 20 years ago, and never more than 3 or 4 inches in depth. So we just ask that the applicant would monitor this and make any necessary adjustments to maintain the safety of the general public coming to the site.
I have a question.
Okay.
The print says approximately 27,500 square feet to be added equals 5,500. I don't understand how that computes. What does that mean exactly?
5,500 is approximately 20% of the.
Okay. Now I see it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And so the analysis portion of conditional use permit, if the commission concludes that all of the above development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that, if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability the development will, one, not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property, impair an adequate supply of light and air to the surrounding properties, unduly increase congestion in the roads or hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers, diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property, not be in accord with the intent or purpose of the County Cornerstone to Capstone C2C plan. So just some comments from our interagency review. The existing house's septic system is designed for a 4-bedroom house. Obviously, with the addition of the additional 4 bedrooms, as well as the dwelling, the area occupied by the property owner, this will require a larger system, and an engineer will be required to do the soil analysis. and design of that system. There is one well on the property that was drilled in 1997, and the environmental health director just indicated the location and that it should be protected from parking and traffic with a protective barrier. Engineering commented that they would like to see the same condition that they had imposed when YSS applied for the conditional use permit on this property, which was if there are 150 vehicle trips per day or more, that dust control be required. And then the assessor's office indicated that they would review and value the improvements made to the property and would review the classification of the property after the improvements have been made. Comments from the general public. We mailed public notification letters to surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the site on January 26th. We did receive a request for application materials from an adjacent property owner's attorney. However, we have not received any comments at this time. Information on the proposed conditional use permit was routed to the City of Ames and the City of Gilbert, as it's located within the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. We did not receive any comments from either city. We did also route to fire, emergency services, and we did receive a comment back from Mary Greeley, which just they wanted to bring up some issues, including access for emergency vehicles, making sure that there's adequate signage and lighting to identify specific buildings, and then they just were interested if an AED machine or first aid kit would be available on site for the larger events. So some points to consider when looking at this conditional use permit. The general provisions of the Story County Land Development Regulation Ordinance are intended and designed to meet specific objectives of the Code of Iowa, including encouraging efficient urban development patterns, securing safety from fire, flood, panic, or other dangers, protecting health and general welfare, and facilitating the adequate provision of transportation, water, wastewater treatment, schools, parks, and other public requirements. The objective of a conditional use permit process is to encourage compatibility of the proposed development with the environment and the existing and future land uses in the area. The location of the proposed addition to the dwelling and proposed event venue are well buffered from the adjacent properties through existing vegetation and open space. It is important to note, however, that adding up to 300 guests on site and potentially up to 150 vehicles would likely be noticed and heard by adjacent property owners. At 50% capacity, the proposed bed and breakfast is anticipated to increase the average annual daily traffic along 240th Street by over 25%. Obviously, this could further increase if they're at full capacity. The addition of the event venue could increase traffic up to 500% of the existing traffic. And a reminder that 240th Street is a gravel road. I don't think I said that yet. I apologize. The proposed bed and breakfast, if annexed into the City of Ames, would be non-conforming to the zoning district regulations currently in place. And the Ames Urban Fringe Plan Land Use Framework map designates this area for future residential development with a minimum average net density of 3.75 units per acre. So these are the recommended conditions from planning and development staff. We are recommending approval with these conditions. Number one is that the event venue shall not accommodate more than 150 guests per event for the first year of operation. After this time, the applicant may apply for a conditional use permit modification to be reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment to increase the number of guests to no more than 300. The status of the conditional use permit will be addressed by county staff. An appropriate recommendation shall be made to the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment based on any feedback received from the adjacent property owners and general public. Number two is that all parking stalls shall be clearly marked in order to meet our land development regulations. And section 88.08 indicates that all parking spaces and circulation routes are well defined and clearly marked. Number three, the applicant shall provide dust control on 240th Street adjacent to the existing and future dwellings. If daily traffic counts to and from the subject property exceed 150 vehicles per day, at any time, we would like to reserve the right to request that the applicant hire an engineer to do a traffic study if the traffic counts on 240th Street increase to exceed what we think the road can handle. A site plan meeting all requirements of our land development regulations shall be submitted for action by the Story County Board of Supervisors prior to any zoning permits being issued. So those are all our the alternatives you can look at today. Again, we are recommending approval with four conditions. Do you have any questions for me?
The Ames Urban Fringe issue, the application that was denied, that applied to a different strategy, a different plan for the property than the
right.
Correct?
Part of the original plan for the property was the bed and breakfast, the event venue, and then also a proposed camp, commercial campground. And we looked at that text amendment last month, and we'll look at it again tonight. But we felt that that was a commercial campground was not compatible with that urban residential designation, and the city of Ames also felt that. So the applicant did propose the property owner did propose an amendment to the Ames Urban Fringe plan to accommodate that use. The city of Ames denied that request.
Not required, not necessary for the conditional use permit that's proposed tonight.
Yeah, we feel that the bed and breakfast aligns more closely with the urban residential designation.
Okay. You mentioned early on in the presentation that the proposal has the potential to interfere with residential development in the area. Mm. So I just want to clarify that. You're saying because it has an AR plan designation, it's calling for residential development in the future, and this kind of takes a big piece of land and rural isolates it for a different use.
Rural residential is the
rural residential.
Urban
okay. Is the Ames Urban Fringe plan designation. So the overall land use plan would be for single family residential development.
Okay. But the urban fringe plan doesn't, though it's a piece of guidance for us, and we are not required on conditional use permits to conform to the Ames plan or the Ames urban fringe. Yeah, I know I'm saying that the wrong way. But there's not a direct requirement that both the city and the county approve conditional use permits in that area. Is that correct?
Correct. The conditional use permits are a function of our zoning code, which the county enforces.
And the zoning on the property right now is?
A1.
A1, and there's AR in the area?
Yep.
To the east.
Yep.
Okay. And we did reach out to Ames and Gilbert and did not receive response to that.
Correct.
On the conditional use permit request.
All right. I think that's all I have now. Anybody else? Questions for staff? Okay. Would the applicant care to step to the podium and address us? Could you just say your name and address for the record, please?
Good My name is Brad Perkins. My address is 1641 T Avenue in Madrid. My wife and I are the applicants. We are not the property owners yet, but we are the applicants that submitted the plan here that you have before you. Before I begin, were there any direct questions that you had that I could answer? No. Okay. Well, obviously you've heard the plan, and I would like to just say that Emily, could you turn to that site plan that we had?
All right. This one?
Back up to the wider view. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. In looking for a property to do our bed and breakfast and event venue, and also eventually the cabins that we discussed at the last meeting. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We look for a property that is specifically zoned A1 so that it allows us by current zoning law to do all of the events that we are wanting to do. And for this particular conditional use permit, bed and breakfast with event venue obviously is allowed by the zoning code for this particular property. The other thing that we were looking for is a property that was large enough that we could be good neighbors. Essentially, we took this site plan and located it. I tried to find a spot on the site that we could build the event venue and still stay a reasonable distance away from any of the neighbors. If you look as the crow flies from this point to any of the neighbors, it is anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500. Most of the neighbors are 1,500 feet away. Given that through here and back this way is pretty heavily wooded, and we have just a little bit of relief, I think it's going to provide a really good barrier between us and any neighbors. Originally, I had located it over here in a similar spot to the YSS building, and then at the request of the neighbor to the west, I actually relocated it over here to this point. I've been talking with as many of the neighbors that I could talk with, and you know, to make sure that I started on the right foot, and they made a reasonable, I thought was a reasonable request, and it's worked out pretty well with our site plan, so we decided to honor that and keep it as far away as possible. Also, with regards to traffic, with only the 58-ish spots planned right now, I don't know if we're going to have, you know, they use the number 150 vehicles fairly frequently. And that would have to be total trips. Was that your intent of that?
Well, we were estimating about two people per vehicle. So for somewhere between 200 and 300 guests.
Right.
But then we did find out you were hoping to collaborate with hotels and shuttle services.
And it's one thing that I've learned with speaking with some of the possible future users of this. Since our conditional use permit has been on your website, I've had three different couples find it and call me, wanting to rent it out. I said, well, it's a little premature, but the good news is all the dates that you want are open. You know, the bad part is I haven't built it yet, so we've got a little bit to go, but we could at least start talking. What we've done is one of the things that came up repeatedly is that since our property is right across Highway 30 from two different hotels, and then we are within a five-mile drive of another five hotels. I've spoken with the owner of CIT Transport here in Ames, and he said, you know, one of the popular things at weddings right now is for you to rent, for the guest to rent a shuttle to go back and forth if there's a predominant hotel that you're staying at, which makes a lot of sense, especially if they are going to have alcohol at the event. This makes a lot of sense, I think, for everyone to have scheduled transportation. Since there aren't a lot of taxis and Uber available in Ames, to schedule it ahead of time cuts down on my number of parking spaces and also cuts down on the chance that there'd be a fender bender or something else unfortunate. And so we're going to be offering that as a service. We've minimized the number of parking spaces. Obviously, we could have more, But what we've tried to do is limit it because we really want this space just to be as green as possible. You know, that's one of our major intents is to have this. If you're going to have a country setting, the last thing I want to do is pave over everything. So, Ellie, could you blow up in that area, please? To address some of the concerns with regards to, you know, that Mary Greeley had, I'm not sure. We don't have a dimension here, but it is our intent. Here we go.
There you go.
There we go. Thank you. The intent is, and I need to verify this with the Department of Transportation, but my intent is to be able to have a 45-foot bus be able to turn there. And if I can have a 45-foot bus make this radius, then any of the emergency vehicles would be able to make it as well. The 45-foot bus is the longest thing that a person is going to be able to drive over the roads without a special license anyway. So with regards to making it accessible for emergency vehicles, given the large area here directly in front and this turnaround, I think we've got that pretty well addressed. The suggestions with regards to an automatic defibrillator on site, I think that's a first aid kit, including the blood clotting. I think that's a fantastic idea. Sure hope I never have to use it, but it'd be a great, great thing to include. Zoom back out, please. If we go to the overall traffic, hopefully with only the 58 cars, you know, that's probably going to... one more, please. It's probably going to... I don't know if we'll ever... If we'll have that 150, but even if we don't, I've spoken with both of these neighbors, and I've told them I plan on putting dust control down anyway. I think that makes sense no matter what. In the interest of being a good neighbor, I'm already planning on that. I just didn't have it in the write-up. So I'm going to take that suggestion to heart by traffic and engineering. Here at this spot where the owner said, he told me that in 20 years they've had 2 inches of water, maybe 3 inches, a couple of times, and it only lasted an hour or two. Given some of the large rain events that have happened in the last 20 years, I feel pretty good about this not being a hazard. But obviously, if it is, we'd have to come up with some type of engineering solution because in addition to the hazard, can't have a facility if the guests can't get there. So I guess we'll see how this one goes. The major flooding issue in this area is some pesky beavers. They tend to try to clog this up fairly frequently, so we're going to have to address that particular issue. Can we go to the part with the one employee, please?
Yes.
Now, staff and I have a slightly different interpretation of employees. I was under the impression, and I haven't bought the dining room table, but they allow me to have, I'm anticipating an occupancy of max occupancy of 20. And if you read it, it's like one per 15 seats at the table. And my thought is, if you have any guests, you could have one applicant, one employee. I'd sure like to have a second one on staff. That's kind of my intent. I mean, we can always contract with people, but my intent is, it'd be nice if I could have the more than one, but I don't know if that's a... I'm not quite sure on how you want to... If the staff had a... We didn't really talk about this. There were so many other things to talk about. It's just as I was listening to it, I remembered, you know what? I think I really wanted this to be more than one full-time in the bed and breakfast itself anyway, but... I mean, I understand the interpretation. I just differ slightly with it.
Yeah. If you would like, I can read the provision.
Let's go back to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see it as a major issue maybe for tonight. Can we go to the proposed conditions, please?
Yeah.
Okay, let's come back to one in just a second. Clearly marked circulation routes are well marked. We're absolutely going to do that. I don't want people driving into the grass I'm trying so hard to protect. So this is easily done. Obviously, I said this is easily done, and we plan on doing it no matter what this vehicle count is. When we open the facility, I plan on having this done already. Obviously, I understand as I'm a licensed professional engineer, and I will definitely be making sure that we're going to be following those regulations. The only thing on the recommended conditions that I have a little problem with is the 150 guests for the first year. My thought on this is I've really gone out of my way, I think, to try to be a good neighbor, or at least a potential good neighbor, if I'm able to build this. Between the distance to other occupied dwellings and the buffering in not just distance but also trees and landscape, it would be my request that I'd like to not have this restriction. And the reason being is that I have to build the entire building today and pay for it today. But if I have only 150 guests, I might miss a lot of events that people would like to have. It's not that I built it for according to, and my architect's going to go over the code standards that we used, but we built it for 300 people so that people can invite 300 people to a wedding. You know, very rarely, you know, you're usually going to get about 2/3 or less of the people showing up that are invited. But I want to be able to talk to a couple and say, yes, we have the capacity for your 300-person event, knowing that it's probably going to be closer to 150, but that's a hard limitation that's going to create what I think is an unnecessary burden. And I think given the distance to other properties, I'd like to think that that when this permit comes up for renewal, it's my intent that, you know, all of the other neighbors have no comments at all, and I'm trying to do that through managing the hours of occupancy, the location, and the types of events that we have going on there, and that this 150 seems slightly arbitrary. While I understand the intent is to ease into the environment, I'd really like to be able to have the full use of the property that we build from the beginning, and then if there were any complaints, I'd like to address them in a way that would make the neighbors happy without having the 150 limitation on there. Now, with regards to the conditional use, or rather not the conditional use, the request to change the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, that's going to be part of the cabin discussion ultimately, and not this particular part. So we can address it after, I think, after this. Do you have any other questions I could answer for you tonight?
Thank you.
Okay.
Do you want to have your architect?
Yes, I brought my architect to speak. We have one of our friends that she's going to be our wedding planner for the site. I'd like her to talk a little bit and then maybe open it up. But I'll have our architect go first.
So what I would like to do is just, the design of the building, I think, is pertinent to the application materials.
Okay.
I'd love to have the architect speak and then the wedding planner speak during the public
during the open discussion.
Session.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. My name is Mike Stott. I'm with SBNA Architects. Address is 1421 South Bell in Ames. And I've been retained by the applicant to provide some conceptual design and design work for this project. And I'm just going to review very quickly, you know, the what and why and kind of feel of this, of the bed and breakfast and and the event venue and what's intended to be. You know, this bed and breakfast itself, of course, is for getaways and short stays and that type of a thing. The venue is for events, of course, you've talked about that, and that's the weddings, corporate retreats, family reunions. It provides a nice venue for that. The commentary relative to the design and the feel of this structure, this is meant to be a destination. Even though it's close to the city, it's meant to be formulated such much like a getaway. So it's a destination that is very relevant to a theme. And that's very important to have that destination and then have the surrounding area, because that the surrounding area and the views and the landscape and the trees and everything else is very much a part of the feeling and the understanding of this as a getaway. The owners derived their design concept, as we talked and as they found this property, derived their design concept around the existing house, which you probably noted is very stylistic. The house is developed, is designed and fairly well done representation of an English Tudor style home. In fact, as you walk through the home itself, the detailing and the oak paneling and everything else is very consistent, and so it's very well done deliberately by the architect that did the home. So they drew from that, and the idea is to develop a draw from that, the outbuildings being the lodge being a barn type of a building, and the addition to the house being a stable, so derived from outbuildings of an old English farm. Okay, to continue the theme, continue what they were doing there. And so the barn is meant to be, or the venue meant to represent a high old English barn, and the bed and breakfast would be patterned after an English stable. It would be designed onto the home itself there. The bed and breakfast addition focuses primarily on, I think we covered this in the initial presentation, the focus there is to provide very accessible, completely accessible rooms that might be a little bit difficult in the house itself. This is very important for the business plan and the business here, to provide that accessibility, a complete accessibility for families, friends, especially those that may be attending the venues. Also, the location of that helps to frame a courtyard, which will be intended to be an outdoor type of venue. If someone wants to have their wedding outdoors, they can do that and have that in that little courtyard framed area as well. Being that Story County has not adopted a building code, Brad, the applicant, is a licensed professional engineer, and he's also hired me as a professional, a licensed professional. We're going to be building all of this according to the International Code Council set of codes, those that are adopted by the state of Iowa, and because safety is very important, everything will be done according to codes and planned according to codes. Accessibility is very important, not only important but necessary, extremely necessary for this business and their business plan, because you'll be having guests that, especially at weddings, you'll be having guests that may be wheelchair bound or have a hard time getting around. We have a drop off area, we have parking there located right adjacent to make it just as easy as possible for family and friends to come and not be encumbered by structures that aren't going to be accessible. The barn or event, I'm calling it a barn, the English barn or event venue is in fact designed to accommodate 300 people, and that code compliant for 300 people, meaning far exceeds the number of exits required out of the building, far exceeds the restroom capacity of the building for 300 people, and far, it really is exceeding that, because they want it again to be very comfortable, user-friendly, and just an event venue that people will just talk about and understand that this is a wonderful event and a wonderful part of their lives, et cetera. We talk about landscaping and the open area around the venue. I think it's Brad has alluded to this, and we talked about the fact that keeping it green and pastoral is a word we like to throw around as possible. Okay, because that's very much the views and the ambiance that are created by the property is very much as important as the buildings themselves. And so that's why we're proposing the drives to be in gravel, the parking spaces to be grass, and paved as little as possible, because what we don't want is a Hy-Vee style parking lot. I say that just because we can all relate to a big area just of total paved striped areas, and that's what we don't want to do here. County staff represented the fact that we would be permitted to have more parking spaces, but I believe it's intended that we have as few as possible that will still accommodate the facility and venue not take up that area. With that, is there any questions that the council would like to ask?
If we got it now, we may ask them later.
Sounds fine. Thank you.
Right, thank you. We're now going to entertain comments from the public on this application. As you can see, we might have quite a few people who would like to address us tonight, so just want to lay down some guidelines for us if we could. We would ask you to stand at the podium and state your name and address. If standing for while you talk is difficult for you, we can accommodate you. Just let us know. Please keep your comments as concise as possible and avoid redundant comments. It's okay to say, I agree with that point that person already made. We will weight that the same as if you restate those comments. Please direct your comments and questions to the commission. And if we need to redirect questions to the applicant and the staff, we'll do that on your behalf at the right moment. And we're not going to have any back and forth, so please try to get all of your comments into one trip to the podium. And we're not going to do musical chairs shifts up to the podium and back and answer that question and then respond to that comment, okay? So with that, if anyone would like to address the commission on this issue, please step up to the podium and give us your name and address.
Greg Irvanian, the law firm Graham Irvanian, Catch Torrey in Des Moines, 317 6th Avenue, Suite 900. I'm here on behalf of James W. Polensky, Teresa A. Scheid Polensky, who are the trustees of the Polensky 1998 Trust, which owns the rural residential property at 5600 240th Street, abutting the west side of the property, which for which this cup has been requested. The Polenskys believe that there are additional conditions to the granting of this cup, some of which have been not been previously addressed, some of which have been partially addressed. I'd like to say also, forgive my, I'm reading from a prepared script because I anticipated it would be pretty crowded tonight and I wanted to move quickly. So forgive my formality. The first issue is that of a pre-existing and what we believe is a conflicting conditional use permit. Story County has already issued a cup to an applicant known as YSS, the Youth Shelter Services. For that cup is identified as Cup 01-17. It's for a for the proposed Youth and Shelter Services Youth Addiction Treatment Facility. That cup relates to the very same property upon which the Perkins Cup depends, and is clearly in conflict with the Perkins Cup application and the proposals to which the Perkins Cup relates. We believe there's a clear conflict between the two projects and the two proposals. Both projects cannot be constructed nor operated on the same parcel of property. They have drastically different uses and would be in conflict with each other. As a condition of the granting of the Perkins Cup, there must be a dismissal, termination, or other relinquishment of the pre-existing and conflicting YSS cup. That cup, as you might be aware, has been challenged in district court. It's currently set to be presented to the court in May of 2018. The granting of a second additional conflicting cup, I think, just complicates the process with regard to orderly development and use of the property. The second issue is pertains to the event center. And first, I would like to say that the Polenskys appreciate the fact that the Perkins have been really readily engaging with them. They've been open and forthcoming about their plans. They've been accessible. They've been nice to work with. So there's no animosity from the Polenskys to the Perkins individually. They appreciate the process and the way that the Perkins have gone about it. Staff comments made clear that they have significant concerns about the proposed event center, and I think that's one of the biggest bugaboos about this proposal. The bed and breakfast probably seems pretty compatible and kind of a low-intensity, low-level use of the property so as not to conflict or materially change the use, you know, complexion or nature of the property or any of the surrounding properties. But the event center is an approximately 4,500 square foot structure. It's a pretty big structure, and staff noted that an accommodation of 300 people at any given time is likely to pose pretty significant challenges. I think logistical challenges, the coming and going, parking to some extent, and as staff points out, regardless of what happens at an event that size, a function that size, neighbors are going to be affected by it. They're going to see it. They're going to hear it. They're going to be aware of what's going on in some capacity, no matter what precautions are taken. That's a big function, and it's a big event in the middle of an area that has never seen anything like that. I'm also concerned about, the Polenskys are also concerned about, that road. It's a relatively narrow gravel road with no shoulders and no lighting. The proposed hours of operation for the event center are 8 a.m. to midnight. As was mentioned by Mr. Perkins, there are going to be people who are consuming alcoholic beverages at some of these events. I think it's a recipe for disaster to have people, many of whom might be unfamiliar with that area, that road, not sure exactly where they're coming from or where they're going, to be leaving at dark, with or without consuming alcoholic beverages, on a gravel, unlighted road, which at various times of the year is shared by agricultural endeavors. There might be farmers who are driving tractors, combines, what have you, farm-related equipment, late at night, home from the field. As you are aware, in planting and in harvesting season, they're often working very, very late in the night. Well, that's a recipe for disaster. There's nowhere to go on that road when a car, familiar or unfamiliar with that territory, is driving down the road and there's a farm implement. Who knows if the farm implement will be seen? There's poor lighting. The tractors aren't always well lighted. I think it's a potential for a serious problem. 300 vehicles, in addition to the vehicle, or 150 vehicles, in addition to vehicular traffic from the bed and breakfast, I think staff said was approximately a 500% increase in traffic for that area. That's astounding. Staff suggested that for the first year, a 150-person limit at the event center be in place. That's helpful, but I disagree with what Mr. Perkins suggested. I think 150 is far too big and too high an intensity level for the surrounding area or for the logistics getting to and from the property. That's still, if you do the math, that's still apparently a 250% increase in traffic. What the Polenskys would like to see as a condition to authorization of the cup is a reduction from the 150 figure, 75 to 100 for the first several years, during which time vehicular counts, safety assessments, etc., can be made pertaining to the use of the road in particular. After that time, perhaps a gradual increase in the level of intensity, meaning the size of the event center and the number of people authorized to use it. 300 people is a lot of people. It's a lot of people out in that area. The neighbors are going to be affected by it, and I think there are significant logistical concerns, safety concerns about the ingress and egress from the property. Hazards. Neither the Perkins cup proposal or the accompanying documents or staff comments mention or resolve the issue of fire safety for the structures proposed by the Perkins cup. Any consideration as to the approval of the Perkins cup must be conditioned on clear plans of the provision of prompt and adequate fire protection services, not only for the structures and operations proposed under the Perkins cup, but for all of the adjacent property owners and structures which could be jeopardized by a failure to require that. In the proceedings some time ago, relative to the existing YSS cup. There was information in the record for the Story County Board of Adjustment from the fire chief of the West Story Fire Agency in Kelly, Iowa, which apparently is charged with fire responsibility for that area. That record reflected the fire chief's concern that there was a small volunteer fire department, limited resources, equipment, and personnel. West Story Fire Agency has only one pumper and one tanker with a total of 3,000 gallons of water. That is clearly inadequate by a large measure to protect the development as proposed by this cup, and clearly inadequate to protect surrounding property structures, etc., in the event that there is a fire. So, as a condition of further consideration of this cup, there needs to be, we think, very detailed analysis of whose services this area for fire protection, what resources they can bring to bear, and what additional resources will be required. And then another concern is, it's been alluded to with regard to the pardon me, the cabins that might be discussed at some later date. This proposal with the bed and breakfast and the event center at a 300-person maximum, even at a reduced capacity of 150 or less, is a pretty high-level use and high-level intensity of use for this property, given some of the concerns and logistical issues that already discussed. Staff has suggested that regardless of what's done, the neighbors are going to be affected and they're going to hear it, see it, be aware of it. As a condition of the issuance of this cup, I think the serious consideration should be given to no additional expansion of this cup or new cups for additional development or construction of any sort on this property. The development as proposed, the bed and breakfast and event center at the current level requested, or even at a reduced level, is the maximum that should be allowed in terms of the intensity of use of this property, and no further development should be permitted. If there is any further consideration given to an expansion of the existing cup or a new cup, it should be it should not be allowed to involve property south and or west of the existing proposed site. That would put it directly in basically towards the fence line of the Polenskys, and then they have 300 people partying essentially in their side yard. So that is the extension. That's the extent of my comments. I can answer any questions, or I can just sit down.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Anyone else would like to speak?
Anna Acton. At 2715 Bobcat Drive.
No, we got to be a whole lot louder for this whole
thing. Sorry. Anna Acton, 2715 Bobcat Drive, 206. So I'm the event planner that would be contracted by Mr. Perkins. And I just want to say that Raspberry Hill Resort would be a great addition to this area. As a bride within the last 5 years, I know that this event venue would be very popular, especially being just outside the college town. A lot of gals that go to Iowa State that might get their MRS degree would be looking for something close by for an event venue for their wedding. Raspberry Hill Resort would give me a great platform to grow my event planning business, and so having that so close to home would be just a great opportunity. As a lifelong resident of Story County, I'd love to have my business be so close to home and be able to flourish so close to home. And I also just want to agree to Mr. Perkins' comment about the 150 guest limitation. So if you have any questions for me, I'm open to any questions.
All right. Thank you.
My My name is Shelley Brin. I live at 718 Salk Avenue, Ames, Iowa 50010. I have known the Perkins for many years, as well as I have been married. I got married 2.5 years ago. Looking for a place and a venue to get married at, there was nothing that was available without 2 years or a year and a half forward. So I'd have to plan my wedding for a year and a half before I could get married at any kind of event that was more than 75 people. I have looked all over Ames. I looked all over Boone. And the only other places were at camps, at the Y Camp, or at the camp south of Boone off of 30. And there was no place that I could have for my family or friends to come. So we just went to the courthouse and got married because there was no place for my family to go. I have known the Perkins again for about 4 or 5 years, and I have seen how they have handled other businesses in their lives, and I know what kind of attitude and respect that they put towards their neighbors, as well as the people that come into their property, into their home, as well as their family. They are a very open-minded but yet cautious when it comes to any kind of issues that could come. I know that Brad is the kind of person that will sit there and think about things before he even comes close to planning something or bringing it up, because he wants to see all of the different aspects. And if there's any kind of issue or any kind of hazard, I know that he thinks through those things and he will go around it if it needs to be a hazard issue. Because his whole life that I have seen so far, and his wife, has been to make sure that everyone is safe and caring. So I wanted to let you guys know that this would be a huge asset to Ames, as well as they're a great couple to be in this property.
My name is Jennifer Olson. 927 12th Street, Nevada. I have known Brad my whole life. He is my older brother. And I can tell from personal experience, he does not jump into anything without careful thought, without careful planning, and without careful research. He has looked for other properties in the area for a very long time that would meet the needs of his business goals, but would also meet the needs of the community. He has done so much research, him and his wife, Gina. They have done so much careful planning to make sure that everyone's needs are met and that no one will feel put out by what they do. From a personal standpoint, I have worked in corporate America for years, but I have been at the local school here in Nevada for 4.5. On the corporate world, I worked for 3M. I worked for Pella Windows for almost 20 years. And when I worked for those companies, we would have the hardest time trying to find a venue and schedule our Christmas or holiday parties. There's just nowhere around that can handle the size of group we needed in the time frame we needed. There was not enough places. And now that I work for the community school, even for the small groups that we have such a difficult time finding a place here in Nevada or even in Ames that can handle our group. Just because they have a capacity for 300 doesn't mean it's going to be at 300 every weekend. And it doesn't mean it's going to be at 300, maybe even every other weekend. This venue could be so much more than just a party central. It can be the reunion. It can be birthday parties. During the winter, trying to find a place to have a birthday party for your 12-year-old son or your 9-year-old daughter is so hard because everywhere that is around in Ames is sold out. And their venue would be big enough that you could have things indoors, different activities. It's not just going to be people drinking on a Friday or Saturday night. Okay? And with his vision of partnering with CIT, will help alleviate a lot of the problems that have been brought forward for both transportation and the parking. I just see this as a huge opportunity that I'd hate for this community to miss out on.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address this? Long pause, and you both decide to go straight.
I only need 10 seconds to vouch for their character because I've known the Perkins. I'm sorry, Lori Wilson, 2231 228th Place, Ames, Iowa. I've known them for about 5 years, 6 years, and just want to vouch. They are public servants. So when I hear Mike Pence share how he and his wife dedicated their lives to public service and to serve the people, that's who Brad and Gina Perkins are. So I just wanted to share that, and I know that we all feel that way, so many of us here, but there's so many more that aren't here that would say the exact same thing. So I just wanted to share that.
I'm John Moore. I'm the neighbor directly to the east. I live at 5318 240th. I've recently met Brad and his wife due to this process, and I just want to, again, kind of vouch for them. They've been incredibly transparent and been really easy to work with on this. I've had a number of concerns with this, especially going back to some of the things that happened with YSS and so forth, and I've been rather straightforward with him as to some of the things that I don't want to see happen out there, and he's been very accommodating of all that, in particular the traffic. I don't actually think that the traffic, even at the 300-person level, is going to be that bad out there for us because, again, from where he sited the place and where he's moved it and adjusted the location, I think we'll be just fine, at least from my vantage point. I probably have the best view of the existing house from anyone else around there, and I said I still don't think it's going to be in a bad location. So I think as long as the dust issue is mitigated, I would have to say that I'm in favor of this. Thank you.
Any other comments? All right, seeing none, we're going to go into the discussion phase with the Planning Commission, and if we have questions for anyone, including the applicant, we'd be happy to do that. I see that Mr. Perkins, you'd like to add a comment?
Yes.
Would you mind stepping up, please?
Once again, Brad Perkins, the applicant. With regards to some of the statements made with regards to noise and how many people and that type of thing, especially also traffic. If you look at that area, could we zoom out on that just to the wide? Actually, yes. There we go. If you see from the edge of our property directly over the highway, you can actually view from my proposed location, you can actually view some of those apartments. And in terms of like changing the makeup of the facility, Perfect Games is within view
of the front yard of this place. You know, and if we look back here, we're 3/4 of a mile off of a major intersection, you know, the South Dakota intersection, Highway 30. It's not, this isn't remote, is what I'm saying. This neighborhood already has a lot going on. That's actually one of the reasons that makes this work, is that I was trying to find a spot that is close to a major highway access and close to existing things like hotels, because no matter what I do out there, there's no way I'm going to be able to get to house everybody, everyone there. So having the hotels that you can even see in that within sight of the front, I really don't think this is going to have the be quite as impactful. And if you look at the property across the road, you know, at with Ames planning ultimately, if they're planning on putting residences through there at 3.5 per acre, that they would have way more than 300 occupants just on the other side of that. They'd have 300 houses just on the other side. I mean, my point is, this is a major intersection. It's going to have traffic, whatever that traffic is. My intent here is to have a viable business, and I'd like to use it for its intended current zoning to the full extent that I could.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions for the staff?
I have a couple questions. How did you come up with 150 people at the event, eliminating to that? What was your thinking there? Is that in one of our votes? Or
The maximum number of parking spaces permitted from the event venue would be 75. Looking at the number of people who might arrive in 75 cars, is about 150 people, maybe a few more, but that's kind of where we came up with the idea. The intent of that is to we feel that this use is going to be impactful on the surrounding properties, and the intent of that condition, as Brad pointed out, is to really ease the use into the neighborhood, be able to address the issues that arise prior to bringing the full 300 people there.
Second question would be, does the county set the maximum number of employees the company can have working for them?
With a conditional use permit.
Okay.
It's pretty much that whoever resides in the dwelling can work in the home business activity, and then they're permitted one additional. And then there's that ratio of 1 per 15 guests, depending on how many can sit around the table and be served. And they're proposing
20.
About 20 people.
And the intent, as best you can tell of that, is to keep it feeling like a home-based business, keep the traffic, the number of people parking there all the time down. But that formula is based on just the bed and breakfast. There's no additional allowance for the fact that there's an event center, even though the code allows for the event center with the CUP.
There's actually a provision if there's like one person residing in the dwelling, they're able to get to more than just the one.
Okay. All right. I know you didn't write this.
You did not.
But if he hired 20 independent contractors,
which he could do,
it would be okay, but the fact that they're W-2 employees makes it would exceed some of it. All right. It's just challenges, regulations. You sit down and write something you think is great, and it introduces new things. It doesn't seem like a lot of employees, given what he's asking, what they're asking to do, what they want to be able to do out there. But okay. Some of these are going to be questions and some of these are going to be comments. First, I think Mr. Perkins makes a good point. If the intent out there is residential development, that's going to increase the traffic far beyond what is anticipated with this. Granted, you'd get a paved road probably with substantial new development. But still, we have precedents in the county where we have, you know, Center Grove Orchard. How many cars does that generate in a day on a gravel road? You know, and within 1,500 feet, other residences within 1,500 feet are pretty darn close. I think Mr. Perkins' proposal also is very accommodating to the neighbors with regard to the hours of operation and the limits on outdoor music and sound and that sort of thing. But with regard to the pending conditional use permit, do we have any advice from us from the county attorney?
We had discussions with the representative from the county attorney's office, and we were told, one, that we could not deny somebody with an interest to submit a conditional use permit, and discussions that it likely will come down to the property owner making that decision about which application the applicant to go with. The property owner would have.
But only one can be enforced at a time? Only valid at a time?
Okay.
I mean, I know that the property owner is...
Yeah, it's not uncommon to have multiple conditional use permits. Usually it's for something similar or relatable to an existing conditional use. This is, I don't know how frequent it is that we have two different requests.
Okay. But the county attorney's advice is we have a valid application and we are tasked with moving forward on that application. With regard to the 300 versus 150 people, I think I'd much rather see us, if we feel like that needs some additional scrutiny, I'd much rather see us just put in a requirement for an annual review or some record-keeping requirement on the number of cars or something like that, rather than living him right out the gate on, you know, to half the capacity that he's designed it for.
We just listened when we went through the process of the Flying Assess and heard a lot of concerns from the property owners with regard to safety and then also the traffic and the dust and noise concerns. And so we felt we needed to respond to that early on. And this is just for the first year. And we would take input from the property owners and expect the applicant to respond best that they can, and then we can come back and request for the additional amount.
One last question for you, and then I'm done. I promise. The impervious surface calculations. I love the grass pave with the geotextile fabric with grass growing up in it to support the weight of the cars. Is that counted as impervious surface or permeable surface?
It should be included in the impervious surface.
It is impervious. You're considering it to be impervious surface.
An alteration in grass.
Okay. See, maybe Mr. Perkins can answer this question, but I am, normally when you park cars on grass, it gets very compact, almost like concrete, but the geotextile, I don't know the degree to which that keeps it permeable. So I'd love for you to answer that question.
Yes, actually, that is exactly the intent of the geotextiles. I've seen it used many times on sites. And we didn't discuss this because the total area isn't really that big of a deal compared to the whole site. But we're going to use the geotextiles for the entire area because of the extra landscaping requirement, but because I really need that area to drain well and I don't need it compacted. What the geotextiles do is they allow you to put an evenly graded rock for the driveways so that becomes your water channel.
and the geotextiles support. You strip the topsoil back, you come up with a good base layer that is compacted, put the geotextile down, fill it with the dirt, and then the grass grows, and the geotextile supports the weight of the cars so that it doesn't crush the plants. This way, the entire surface is able to drain. As you mentioned, I mean, I am quite concerned about puddling, not because of a safety issue, but because if we have wedding guests coming in dresses, I do not want them ruined by mud puddles. You know, so the whole intent for everything. Can we go to that blow up of the parking area, please? If we go to the blow up here, everywhere that you have gravel, we're going to have the geotextiles there with evenly graded rocks. That will make all of that drain through there awesome. With the low point here goes right past, you can barely see the white LP tanks there. That's kind of a natural low point. So what I want is, I want all of this draining in the natural way. Now, the advantage of the gravel and the grass is that it drains, but it actually slows it down compared to if you're going to have a concrete surface. So by the civil engineer standards, those are pervious. They're actually ideally pervious. By the county's standards, they are impervious because that's their definition. From a practical standpoint, we won't have standing water and it'll drain nicely. Does that answer, you know?
That's for me.
Okay. Yeah. Are there any other questions with regards to the geotextiles?
Thank you. Commissioner?
I am concerned about the 150 restriction the first year. I think for a new business, you've got to go in full bore with whatever you're expecting. This is the first year. I do appreciate the neighbors' concerns. But that is something that I'm turning over in my own thinking. Of. That's something I would consider that. I'm not sure whether I'm able to, but yeah, and for a penny and for a pound, this is a new business, and restricting them in any way at half just seems extreme to me. I like the idea of a yearly, what you said.
An annual review.
Yeah. In the first year.
I think if we were to pursue that, we would probably want to specify whether that review needs to be made just by staff or whether it needs to come back to the Planning Commission annually for a review.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
Sure.
Any other thoughts or motions?
I agree with her. Restricting on the first year. Do an annual review.
We are. The public hearing is closed, sir. And unless, Jerry, you have a specific question.
I do not. Jerry, can we go back to your alternate?
The conditions or the alternate?
Well, really both. But so okay. your recommendation is to approve the conditional use permit with alternate number two.
Yep, with conditions.
Okay.
Yes.
I would like to make a motion to that effect, but I would like to change the 150 to 300 guests. How do I do that?
So essentially eliminates condition number
that's
one.
What he's requesting. Okay. Yeah.
So, you could just
eliminate.
I would eliminate
that to approve with eliminating recommendation number one.
Okay. We have a motion to go with staff's recommendation with the alteration that we remove condition number one, the 150 guest limit for the first year. Is there a second to that motion? We have a motion by Cable and a second by McBride. Is there any discussion on the motion? Could we have a roll call vote, please, Stephanie?
McBride?
Yes.
Mins?
Yes.
Cable?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes. So the motion carries. So your application will move on to the Board of Adjustment. And you can work with staff on the timing of that.
thank you everybody for coming in. We really appreciate your participation. You're welcome to stay for the next topic as well if you have nothing else going on tonight. Anyone need a recess? Do you want to know? Can I ask our audience a question? It's somewhat unusual that we have young folks joining us. Can we just ask with any particular occasion, fulfilling a class requirement? Yes, sir.
I'm
awesome. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. I think it's very awesome.
All right. Glad to see you here. Thanks for coming in.
See how it works. Yeah.
I'm starting to request to renew my wedding vow.
Oh, sweet!
We'll work on it.
That's great. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you all for coming.
I think it's great.
Yeah. Any recess, or would you like to call ahead?
Call ahead?
Our applicant, next applicant needs a recess. yeah, why don't we take 5 minutes, please? We'll come back at quarter till. Please, and we will go on to Ordinance 01-17. Emily again.
Okay, the next request was before you last month, and we received direction from the Planning and Zoning Commission to work with the applicant on modifying the proposed text amendment to consider several things. Just some background here. The applicant submitted the Code of Ordinance text amendment application to amend Chapter 90, the Supplemental Standards for Conditional Uses for Commercial Campgrounds and Travel Trailer Parks to permit permanent cabins. This need came out of a conditional use permit application for a commercial campground, bed and breakfast, and event venue. That was submitted on November 21st. A county attorney's representative reviewed the proposal and recommended that the applicant request an amendment to our land development regulations to permit cabins. Since the initial submittal of the conditional use permit, as we discussed in the last case, there was a revised conditional use permit application submitted, which was the one you just had before you. And that removed the request for the commercial campground. In order to permit the commercial campground use on the property, an Ames Urban Fringe Plan Land Use Framework map amendment was required. The Ames City Council again did deny this request from the property owner. So, the text amendment before you, this is the original text amendment submitted by the applicant, and that's what we looked at last month. Staff again recommended denial of this because the intent of the existing ordinance was to accommodate temporary and portable housing. The applicant's request was specific to a certain project and specific to the applicant's goals. We hadn't heard other requests for this type of use before. And then also the potential impact on the environment and sensitive areas that permanent cabins could potentially have. at the meeting, you, the Planning and Zoning Commission, referred the text back to the applicant and staff for collaboration and modification. Some of the comments provided were to focus on the temporary use aspect. Limit duration of these are ideas thrown out for modifying the proposed amendment. Limiting duration of stay, limit duration of operation, prevent cabins from becoming the same as or similar to single family residences, limit square footage, limit number of permanent cabins per acre, limit the number of occupants or occupants per acre. Provide a definition for cabin, and then also potentially modify travel trailer parks commercial campground definition. So based on these comments, the applicant provided a revised proposed text amendment adding in that guests may not stay in cabins for more than 30 consecutive days, and then also that maximum cabin occupancy may not exceed 40 guests per gross acre of park site. So planning and development staff reviewed the revised text amendment language and provided input, incorporating feedback from the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as the interagency review team. And we drafted the following proposed ordinance. This is just a summary of what we did, but I'll look at the exact language. So we revised the application to have a definition of commercial cabin, which would be a building, walls, roof, and entrance used for temporary overnight lodging at a commercial campground. A cabin shall not be considered a dwelling. And then also modifying the definition for travel trailer park commercial campground, removing the language, the portable housing language, and replacing that with lodging. So it's used for temporary lodging. And then also adding that the cabins may be occupied year-round. The construction of cabins is permitted in accordance with Chapter 90.10, Number 1, which is the Supplemental Standards for Commercial Campgrounds. We are also proposing a modification of B, which is maximum density. The current language is maximum density, 20 unit spaces per gross acre of park site, which are part of the Supplemental Standards for Conditional Use Permit for a Commercial Campground. What we're proposing is to limit the maximum area impacted. No more than 35% of the site shall be developed with impervious surface, which may include, but is not limited to, drives, parking areas, walkways, unit spaces, cabins, recreation areas, community buildings, and other related structures. So that's what we're proposing because the 20 unit spaces is likely, based on our definition, is probably for recreational vehicles or tents. And I do have some calculations kind of based on what we imagined 20 or unit space dimension to be. We imagine that to be about maybe 20 by 20, which is 400 square feet. So we also have a limit of 20 campsites per net acre existing. So that ends up being approximately 18% of the area for a two acre park, which is the minimum area. The campsites could take up potentially about 18% is how the math works out. But what we're proposing here is, because we're adding in all impervious surfaces to the site, we're proposing to pretty much double that and say that 35% of the site may be developed with impervious surface. The last thing is that we are adding H. Cabins may be constructed and rented to the general public as an alternative to tents, RVs, or travel trailers. Guests staying in cabins may not stay more than 30 consecutive days. The intent of that was to, again, limit the duration of use. So we tried to incorporate as many of the viewpoints raised at last month's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting into the revised text amendment. Eliminating the number of occupants was not included because that's largely a function of the building code, which we have not adopted as a county. It's also very difficult to regulate. We don't know how many people are going to be staying there. It's hard, unless they're going on a daily basis, to regulate that. That's not something that we feel is reasonable for the county to regulate. The current text, the current revised text amendment is supported by the applicant. We did a publication in the county newspapers on Thursday, February 1st, and we have not received any comments from the general public. So the planning and development staff's recommendation to approve the proposed text amendment to the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission. Could be alternative number one.
Questions for the staff?
Add one. Why require running water in bathrooms?
We're not requiring that.
Oh, you're not.
That was part of the initial submittal.
Oh, I see.
And yeah. Then through the process, it was taken out because they have some plans to really make these accommodations very nice and livable for throughout the seasons. And some applicants may want more rustic type cabins. So we wanted to, through the revision process, we felt we should craft it such that you have the option of making improvements to them if you want to.
Any way against a square footage maximum?
Minimum.
Or,
well, both.
Was there, in the revision, was there a square footage maximum?
No. Okay. In our, what we're proposing today.
What you're proposing tonight?
No.
It would be through the impervious surface percentage that you would get there.
Yeah.
So if you wanted
the access to drive,
but if you wanted
campsites for cabins,
2 8-bedroom cabins to accommodate family reunions, and it, as long as it didn't exceed the impervious surface limit, then
or 20 small cabins.
Yep. Gotcha. Applicant.
Brad Perkins, 1641 T Avenue, Madrid. Same person as before. Much emptier room now, though. But this basically, my first attempt at this, I took what you said, I wrote it down into the change. Been talking with staff, they had some suggestions like, I was thinking with bathrooms and stuff, that's what I was wanting. They had some good points about making it so that you could have more rustic options. I dropped the size requirement once again. There are a couple of state campgrounds that have that 8-person family reunion in one cabin. There are a few of those, so that made sense to me as well. As far as the impervious surface, 35% ratio, I'm not concerned about that at all when you look at the size of, when you actually, if you're trying to have a campground that has anything green on it at all, I don't see the 35% part to be a big deal. I think it's just fine. Let's see here. In general, after we went back and forth a few times, I was in favor of their changes and suggestions. The only thing that I do have a mild comment on, can we back up a few slides perhaps?
Sure.
Like at the end, keep going please. Keep going, maybe one more. Keep going. Here we go. All right, the amendment, the property owner, and this is with regards to a conditional use permit. So, mild difference. I think it was just they're going to this whole area. Ames decided not to consider the change to the urban fringe plan because they're going to be re-reviewing that entire area, to my understanding, and they didn't want to look at just one property. Also, so it doesn't really have much bearing on the amendment, obviously, but in the month to come, it's my intent to be back here in front of you. Sorry to take up so much of your time, but I'm going to, since we broke out the conditional use permit into two parts, if you approve the cabins tonight, I'll be back trying to get a conditional use permit for cabins as well. And it's my understanding, we went through the change to the fringe plan once again to try to, took the suggestion. For a conditional use permit, it's not required, but I didn't think there'd be anything wrong would be from listening with the city in this particular area. They're not quite sure that they consider a commercial campground to be consistent, but for a conditional use permit, they don't have to agree that it's consistent or not. So we'll probably have some more discussions within the next month on that matter. So
more to come, I guess, on the background on this. Did you have any questions at all with regards to my amendment? I tried to incorporate everything that you mentioned last meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
There's not much public left in the room. Are there any comments from the public on the application? Seeing none, we'll move on to the discussion part. I just would point out that this is a proposed change to the zoning code language that would apply anywhere across the county and should be considered to be specific to any project we may have discussed in the past. And so we also have to consider whether it's appropriate across the whole county, not just on this site.
Well, that's kind of a something that's rolling around in my head because I'm from Zerion and we have the Jacobs Lake, and the supervisors just provided money for a cabin at the new part of Jacobs Lake, and so I don't see how this would have happened either. I think this is, for us, it's going to be a coming thing. They provided for up to 3 cabins there, so they're going to have to, the cabin's going to have to deal with all this too.
I would mention in response to that, yes, this is a text amendment is specific to commercial campgrounds, and that's why we added commercial cabin, a definition of commercial cabins, so that it doesn't impact anything that conservation is looking to do.
Staff, I think you did a nice job on this. I think that the overall, I love solutions like that. Like, we need lots of freedom, make a big standard, and lots of freedom to operate underneath it. And that impervious surface limit is, I think, real nice. Any action you'd like to take? Need a motion, please.
You and me. Well, the motion is to pass this.
Staff's recommendation is to
accept the change.
Yeah, to recommend approval of the text amendment to the Board of Supervisors.
I make that motion.
Second it. We have a motion to pass along staff's recommendation as ours to the Board of Supervisors, made by McBride and seconded by Menz. We get a roll call, please.
Steele.
Yes.
Menz.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes. Motion carries. So you'll be going on to the Board of Supervisors. You're visiting everybody in the county and city government.
Everybody in the county.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thanks for coming tonight. I appreciate it. All right. And we are on to staff comments.
Yeah. I mentioned the last time that the Iowa State Extension Service offers some training, which is very valuable. I'm looking at Kathy. For new commissioners. And I think Stephanie made a copy of the sheet for some training that they have coming up. The closest place is in Ankeny, April 2. This year at the Courtyard Marriott, and the county will pay for that.
You went last year.
I would have heard if I went again.
Okay.
I think Mark and I attended that last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have any comments, Jerry, about what you thought?
No words that I'm certain recommend. Next year, and the guy and the guy that teaches it are.
Okay, I remember
keeps
that.
Keeps it entertaining.
Right. He has a good sense of humor. He's very knowledgeable.
What day of the week is it?
Do you have questions about that?
Yeah, what day of the week is
April 2?
I can look. Okay. I don't have my phone. I left the truck. Okay, let me look.
She'll look it up. And then we may have a pretty busy March meeting. We've got a potential conditional use permit for Country Living. They brought in some RVs for permanent living, so there's a process in our ordinance to address that through the conditional use permit review.
What is this? Where is this?
Country Living, Mobile Home Park.
Okay.
Yeah, it's instead of a mobile home, they've brought in RVs, and people are residing in those. It's not a situation where they've expanded the existing footprint of the park, but it's where a mobile home is left, and in its place an RV has been brought in, and there's probably 10 or less RVs that they brought in, and people are living in them, and so we have a process to address that. And
where
so,
is that?
Country Living.
It's north of Hickory Grove.
Oh,
Grove.
Yeah.
And then we have a request from Alluvial for a text amendment to allow distribution for agritourism type uses, and that one was just submitted. We haven't rolled up our sleeves on that yet.
The winery.
Yeah.
Winery.
The brewery. This is actually the
brewery. Brewery.
But to allow the distribution, and I think some of that is happening already. But I think with the process that we went through to do the amendment, you know, with the definition and then the guidelines that we adopted, that there's really this focus of, you know, trying to draw in the general public, you know, to the activity, the agricultural activity that's occurring, and, you know, with whatever it might be, you know, through education, whether it's a maze or a petting zoo, or just to see some unique growing activity. But the focus really seems to be more toward drawing people in and having them come to that specific location. But, you know, again, there's apparently there's in other jurisdictions, I think it's more broadly accepted, where they do sales maybe by internet or distribution. So, and maybe it's a balanced situation, because you could have a situation where maybe the distribution becomes the primary thing, and then you've got trucking and noise and traffic, and after a while it's, you know, you maybe it's decided maybe what the agritourism aspect of it is. So anyway, we're going to be taking a look at that. And then we've got several work program items, the Ames Urban Fringe review that we're doing internally between North Ames and Gilbert. We're going to be coming to the Planning and Zoning Commission with what we're finding there. We're working on stormwater drainage. We've been working on that. And hope to have a draft for the Planning and Zoning Commission to review. We're to find sites in the county for debris management, and we've got a few property owners in the county who have taken up interest in hosting, letting us use their property on a temporary basis to do the collection, processing, and hauling. In case the Boone County landfill gets inundated during some type of a disaster, whether it be flooding or tornado or whatever it might be. Now we're working on an ordinance for transportation impact analysis, trying to get an idea as to, you know, with these developments that we're reviewing, you know, what's the overall impact to not only just that site, but to the area, to the road system. Do we need to be looking at improvements to surfaces, changes to intersections, turning lanes, signalization, and then probably the most difficult part to get a handle on is the cost. You know, how do we determine, do we actually determine who pays? You know, should some of that be borne by the developer who's proposing to do most of the developments that we look at are on a smaller scale, but trying to figure out a distribution cost factor in that as well. That's one of Emily's projects. So again, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty busy March meeting. So we might want to start like at noon or something.
After lunch.
That's all that I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions about anything I talked about.
April 2nd, is that today? April 2nd is a Monday.
I'm sorry, what was the date?
April 2nd is a Monday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right. Any questions for staff on all that? Any comments from the commission? We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. McBride. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.